with you the words from the Lord that Brother Copeland has given about this upcoming year. And being in preparation for it, I didn't want to wait until January 1st to do that. I wanted to do it now. The Lord wanted me to do it right now because it's so stirring in me on the inside, thinking about these words, looking forward to what is about to happen and what is about to take place. And what I wanted to do was take a few moments and just talk to you about the office of the prophet. And how does that operate? Why are these words that we receive so important for us? And why is it so important that we talk about them? And we don't just talk about them at the beginning of the year and just let them go. As you can see from behind me, we've kept up there all year long the year of abundant harvest. Why? Because we want to keep that before our eyes. We want to be thinking abundant harvest. We want to be believing abundant harvest. We want to be seeing abundant harvest. And I have to tell you, as the CEO of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, we have seen abundant harvest this year. We've seen tremendous abundant harvest in this ministry this year, and the year's not over yet. There's still more year to go. So we have expectation, high expectation. I've got high expectation for you that the seeds that you've sown in this church all year long, you are experiencing supernatural, abundant harvest in your life. It's coming to you all the time. You expect it all the time. These words are so important. They're so important to us. And let's take a look at this in Jeremiah chapter 1. We're talking about the prophet here, the office of the prophet. And in chapter 1 and verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, this is Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said to me, say not, I am a child, for you shall go to all that I shall send you. And whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. In talking about the office of the prophet, we see so many things in here, especially where words are concerned. And I'll make this statement to you, words are the primary equipment of a prophet's ministry. The words that they speak. These are words. These are words that come from heaven. As we see here in verse 7, the Lord said to me, say not I'm a child, for you shall go to all that I send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. Those words are coming down from heaven into the heart of the prophet. And then those prophetic words begin to come out of them. Now, the frame of reference that we have is Brother Copeland. He operates in the office of the prophet, and also Pastor Terry. She operates in the office of the prophet. I think we've been seeing that on her lately, getting stronger and stronger and stronger. It's amazing to have a father-in-law who's a prophet and being married to one. Very interesting. But I take notice of the operation of that and how that I study Brother Copeland. I study Pastor Terry. I was studying her as she came out on the platform this morning. And she began to step in to that place of the prophet and began to declare those words. Words are the primary equipment, the primary tools of the operation of the prophet's ministry. And he said to them, I'll send you. He said, you'll go wherever I send you. And he said, whatever I command you to say, you will say. Now, let me make this statement to you. Prophetic words are spoken with an unusual force and a level of authority when it comes to the realms that they are responsible for. Prophetic words are spoken with an unusual force. Each one of us operates in that to a degree in our own personal lives. We are the prophets of our own lives. We prophesy and declare and make declaration over our homes, over our families, our wives, our husbands, our children. We make those declarations over our own selves, where healing is concerned, prosperity is concerned. And on the personal level, as a personal believer, we have an authority that we operate in our realm and in our sphere. Now, the prophetic office is a little different because they're dealing with realms. What do I mean by realms? They're dealing with massive areas of society. They're dealing with massive areas of necessary change in a nation. As we saw here in verse 10, he said, "See, I've set you over nations and over kingdoms." And he said to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, to build and to plant. That's a summary right there of the office of the prophet and what the prophet does. First of all, Jeremiah was going to be sent to the nations. He's going to be sent to the nations. Or rather, to set thee over nations and over kingdoms. You know, you don't necessarily have to travel there in order to have an effect on a nation, especially in the realm of the office of the prophet. You don't have to be there because, of course, words are what the prophet operates with, because those words are being dropped down from heaven into the heart of the prophet, and then they begin to expound on what the Lord is saying to them. But those words carry a weight. They carry a force that changes things, a force that brings about change. Sometimes it'll happen right away. Other times it takes time. It takes time for a prophetic word to begin to work and begin to operate. But it is a force. And it is a force that God uses, and a level of authority that is different from how we operate in the personal authority, but when it comes to the realms that they're responsible for. And again, using Brother Copeland as my example, I've seen him operate as a prophet. I was there. No, I wasn't there at camp meeting where that took place. But I was in this ministry in 1977 when Brother Hagin had him come out and imparted to him this office of the prophet. And over the years, I've watched it, and it's gotten stronger and stronger and stronger and more powerful. I've seen it with Terry, Pastor Terry. I've seen that office of the prophet teaching from the place of the prophet. I'm pulling on that anointing today to be able to talk to you about this. That's because I heard Brother Copeland say this one time, that every pastor can operate and minister on the level of a prophet as they are connected to a prophet. That's part of the prophet's reward. And when a prophet, for instance, when Brother Copeland is teaching, and I'll use an example of when we were in Washington, D.C. It was the last service, the Saturday night service in Washington, D.C. And he began teaching his lesson on faith. And then he started getting out there. I need to go back and listen to it, because he just started getting out there talking about things of the move of God and the Spirit of God and the glory of the Lord. And I could just see him wading out into those prophetic waters. We listen to Brother Hagin a lot, and the same thing with him. It's funny how he'll begin to teach a lesson, and he'll get to a certain point, and it just seems like he steps on over into a place of that prophetic realm, and he begins to teach out of the place of the prophet. I saw that with Pastor Terry. We had a chapel the other day here in the ministry. And she began talking, and she started towards the end of her message. She was telling a story, and there was a holy hush that came over the place. And I thought, wow, there it is. There it is. These offices of ministry, they are so significant. They are so powerful in their operation. And that's why it is necessary. You know, some people have talked about, I'm trying to turn my pages and talk at the same time, I can find this. Some people talk about, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be there. I can stay home. I can listen to a CD or I can be by myself. But what happens is you miss the presence that's in this place. You miss the corporate anointing. And that corporate anointing, when we all get together like this, there's a corporate anointing that's on us. And there's an atmosphere of the glory, like a canopy in this place. And it's electric. There's something that's going on in here. I know that, for instance, when I get into the meeting, like when I was going to the meetings in Washington, D.C. and sitting there, I would sit there and Brother Copeland would talk, and under that anointing, that prophetic anointing, the Lord was ministering to me, and I'm writing things down. I'm hearing what he's saying, but the Lord's talking to me at the same time. And that's why we get together in a place like this, and there are answers that come. There's direction that comes. I have sat in services before, and the Lord has given me whole outlines for messages. It's an atmosphere. And you come into this atmosphere in the scripture I wanted to read to you. You don't have to turn there, but and hold your place in Jeremiah. But in Ephesians chapter 4, it says Jesus, he said, he ascended on high, he gave captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up from all heavens, that he might, above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The gifts have been given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And each one of us operates in that different gift. The evangelist operating in his place and is his gift. The pastor who is preaching on a level of a prophet today is responsible for the congregation and praying over you. I spend so much time praying over you and praying over your lives and praying over your future and praying over these services, endeavoring to hear from the Lord. Well, a pastor is the daddy of the church. So I am the daddy of this church, and this is how I operate in. Well, the prophet operates in a different realm. And they accomplish the assignments that God gives to them by the words that they speak. And there's an effect. There's a prophetic effect that takes place. And here's one of the problems that people have is that when they receive a prophetic word, or a prophet delivers a prophetic word to the body, they go, woo, praise God, and they clap and cheer, and then forget it. They forget about it. And I was going to get into this in a moment, but it's so important to contend for that word. We've been contending for this word all year long. We've been believing God all year long. We've included it in our confession all year long, because the prophet said this was the year of abundant harvest. But if you're not paying attention to it and you're not accessing that by faith, then it's not going to work for you. It won't show up. There are people that heard this word that forgot this word. But we have to continually remind ourselves of how important this is. And that's why today I'm wanting to share with you the word that's coming up for 2020, because I don't want to wait. We need to start thinking about that word now. And one of the things that we're planning on doing is we're having the word of the Lord put on a card that you can keep in your Bible all year long. We'll have that soon for you. That will be available to you. And we're also making that available online. But this is like an urgency on the inside of me. I've got to get this out. And the Lord was, because I had several directions that I was going to go. And in prayer yesterday morning, early, I was saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I found myself being drawn in that direction. So that's what we're talking about. That's what we're visiting about here today. So the office of the prophet carries those words that they use as equipment, carries great weight and affects great change. And I said, Lord, give me an example of that. And he brought me to a word that Brother Copeland delivered. He delivered this word on June the 4th of 1989. And there are a number of pages here, but I just have a section that I want to read to you. It's important for you to keep in mind June the 4th, 1989. And it's also important for you to keep in mind that a prophet over a nation will declare things that will root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, build, and plant. So, let me read this to you. June 4th, what year? 1989. Now, this is what the Lord is saying. So hearken and heed to it. Take heed to it. Listen. For mighty waves of the supernatural are coming and soon to burst on the scene. Soon to crash like a mighty tidal wave and burst on the scene. Not just here and there and a little here and a little over there. But as a mighty wave splashes and covers entire continents. And the power of God will rise in places that people didn't even know that there was a God. But it will be there. And there will be things that will fall before the pressure of it. People will shake their head and say, I never would have believed that could happen. There are going to be political walls and political fences that crumble right before men's eyes. Mighty, mighty strongholds of political power and political strength and different political systems all over the world will suddenly change hands, crumble and fall. And men will say, I never would have thought that would happen, but I'm seeing it. I'm looking at it. June 4th, 1989. The Berlin Wall will come down. It's a sign. The Berlin Wall will come down. There will be other walls that will come down. There will be some walls that will go up. Many changes are going to take place. But those that are wise in their heart and listen to the Spirit of God will be quick to say, oh, the Lord is at work in that land. And they'll be quick to pray. And they'll be quick to rise up as a witness in the streets. And they'll be quick to testify wherever they go. The Lord is working. The Lord is working. He'll save you. He'll heal you. He'll deliver you. He'll bring you into that place that you ought to be. So we see here from this word, he's even speaking the language of the prophet. Political walls, political fences crumble, root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, build, plant. And then he said this, the Berlin Wall will come down. It's a sign. The Berlin Wall will come down. What was the date that I gave you? June the 4th. 1989. The Berlin Wall was constructed in August of 1961. Some of us, when we were children, remember when that wall was built. It was a terrible thing. It divided East from West Berlin. It divided families. And there were families that tried to get over that. And I remember seeing pictures as a child. And, I'm just like 8 years old when this was going on, but I'm looking at pictures of people that tried to get over and they're shot and killed. 1961. It goes through that decade, the decade of the 60s, the decade of the 70s, the decade of the 80s. 30 years, almost 30 years. And people begin to think, well, that'll never move. That'll never happen. That'll never change. But it takes a prophetic word to make a declaration. With the force behind that word, it will blow that wall apart. And it did. This was delivered June the 4th, 1989. The wall came down November 9th. 1989. Wow. And we've seen it over and over and over again. The power of the prophetic word and the operation of it. So they accomplish their assignments by these rocket missile words that they speak. And they go into nations. And they affect change. And even in the teaching that Brother Copeland has done, I've seen over the years that he'll start preaching. For instance, back in the 90s, he was preaching on the anointing. Really focusing in on the anointing. And it just seemed like all of a sudden everybody's preaching about the anointing. And I can just tell when he starts to preach about something, it's starting to reach. It's starting to go. It's that prophetic place. And there are prophets. There are prophets that as they develop in their ministry and as they are promoted and come to a higher and higher place, that the weapon that they use is so powerful that the Lord sees them, can trust them, and knows that they will not use it for personal gain or personal use, but He's found somebody that will speak that word into a situation and it will change that situation. Completely change it. Look at Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. Go to Malachi and just start going backwards a few chapters. Amos chapter 3. The office of the prophet. The office of the prophet and the prophetic word. The prophetic word is a gift to us. It really gives us our marching orders for the year. It gives us a look on over into the year and what to believe for and what to expect and how to exercise our faith for that. Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He reveals His secret unto His servants, the prophets. There's a relationship between the Lord and the prophet. And there are things that the Lord will not do. He will not do. But that He reveals those secrets, those assignments, those things that He wants to get done in the earth. The same thing with the prophetic word of Jesus coming. And the prophets that spoke over and over and over. There's one coming. There's one coming. There's one coming. And the devil was confused about it. The political system was confused about it. But there's one coming. There's one coming. And the Lord was using strategic places and times for prophets to speak through them, to keep that alive and to keep that moving and to keep that happening. And it took place right at the moment in time that it was supposed to take place. At the very moment of the prophetic time. And the prophetic, we're living in a prophetic time. This is really something. And I'll tell you, there's change that's going on. There's change in our nation's capital. That's taking place. There are some things that the Lord Himself is stepping in and taking care of. And don't get caught up in it. Don't get caught up in the swirl of it or the news of it. Don't get frustrated, aggravated, but pray in the Spirit over it and point your finger at that television and say, there's an awakening for that. There's an awakening for that. So surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He reveal His secret unto His prophets. That's why, with all these years that go by, I'm waiting to hear what the prophet is going to say. I'm waiting to hear for what the Brother Copeland has for the year. I'm waiting to hear what Brother Savelle has for the year. Now, I haven't heard anything from the Savelle camp. Maybe I've missed it, but have you heard anything from the Savelle camp about 2020? Okay, so the Lord's still dealing with him. The Lord's still talking to him. But those two particular, the words that they give, the Lord will speak them to them, and then He will give us something to say. He'll give us something to declare. And they are voices. Those voices speak directly into the realms, but God speaks to the office of the prophet first. It really is a hierarchy in the kingdom of God. There is a hierarchy. And the Lord loves us all equally. The Lord loves us in the same way that He loves Jesus. But when it comes to the operation of the kingdom of God, it really is very much like a military organization. There are ranks, rank and file. And there are promotions. And there are demotions. And there are places that And again, as I watch Brother Copeland, I see him and I get around him and I watch him. And he, to me, is like in the spirit of five-star general in the operation. I'm not sure where I'm at in that particular rank and file, but I know that he's in that place. And it's a serious thing. He called me yesterday. He says, "How you doing, George?" And we just talked back and forth. But you know something? It's very interesting. Even though he is my father-in-law, he is my Jethro, and we talk and we laugh, there's always that he's a general in the army of the Lord. Keep that in mind. Keep it in mind. And that's what happens in the kingdom of God. The Lord begins to raise voices. And at the age that Brother Copeland is right now, he has proven himself, and now he's in this 80-year dimension, the decade of the 80s, and it's getting stronger and stronger. Think what it'll be like in the 90s. Whew. Wow. In 4 years, I'll be 70. Whoa. You ought to be around for that one. Something's going to happen. It's so strange, though. I don't feel that way. I don't. And I'm sure that every one of you, you kind of look at your own age and go, I don't feel like I'm whatever it is, 40, 30. I thought I was real old when I was 30. That was a surprise. But we're all pressing into 120. And we are to be demonstrators of what that 120 years looks like. To make it the norm in the kingdom of God. Because there's revelation that he wants to bring into the earth. And that the older we get, the more healed we are, the stronger we are, the more refreshed we are. It's really exciting too. Somebody looked at me the other day, and we're the group of people, and then we're all giving their ages. And they looked at me and went, "How old are you?" I'm 66. They went, "No, no." Well, my youth is renewed like the eagles. But see, that's coming out of the prophet's office. He's the one that really heard from the Lord. The Lord asked him to go for 120. I thought, well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But again, the power and the force of those words. How powerful they are. But it's rank and file. In the kingdom of God, in Father's house, we can all go to the throne. We go up to the throne. And we can just bask in his presence, and he can just love on all of us equally. But when it comes to kingdom business, when it comes to the operation of the kingdom of God, and again, my reference of frame of reference is Brother Copeland. When I'm there with him at a meeting, I don't come up to him and just, "Hey, Ken, how you doing?" I wouldn't say that anyway, but anyway. There's an operation of the Spirit in the kingdom of God. And it's a powerful place. And I never take that for granted, how powerful those words are. And like I said before, I study him. I study Terry. I study how they operate and how they teach out of that place of the prophet. Because the words carry weight. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I say words carry weight, they're very weighty. The same thing with Oral Roberts. I knew Oral Roberts. And we were talking about the decade, the 21st century. On the New Year's Eve, right before the 21st century started, I was at DFW Airport meeting Oral Roberts at a gate. My first meeting with him of many. His secretary asked me to do that. Because he would get to Dallas-Fort Worth by himself on the way to a preaching engagement and get lost in the airport. So he said, "Pastor George, could you please go meet him and get him to his gate?" So I did that for the next 14 times, and then he stopped traveling. But you better believe that when we went to the Admiral's Club together and had a private room together on each one of those visits, I made notes. I asked him, I said, "Can I make notes? I've got a little diary that I kept of all of those times." And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm sitting here by myself with Oral Roberts and he's speaking to me. But the man had progressed in the body of Christ to where he was a general in the faith. Sir, yes, sir. So you have respect for those offices and how those offices operate. Look at 2 Chronicles, and this will be an easy scripture to remember, 20:20. 2 Chronicles 20:20. We're still talking about the office of the prophet. In 2 Chronicles 20:20, it says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Believe his prophets. Take them seriously. The words that they speak, take them seriously. I'm so thankful that I was able to access this word. I got it early this morning. I'm going to go home today and just read the rest of it. These are precious because they're still working. Those prophetic utterances are alive. They're alive. And there's some things that we really haven't tapped into in those prophetic utterances that we should be. And we are. But they're alive. They're a living being. And it says, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And you know, I've been teaching on prosperity with glory. We've done over a year's worth of broadcasts. And I just went back to the Hebrew of this to see what it meant. And you know, that word in the Hebrew, it means to push forward, to break out, to advance, to make progress, to succeed, and to go over. Believe his prophets, and you will push forward. You'll break out. You'll advance. You'll make progress. You'll succeed, and you'll go over. And those prophetic words are not given so we can say, praise God, and then wait around for them to happen. No, we have to contend for those words by expecting, believing, praying, acting as if they were true. And they are true, but we have to act that way. We have to apply our faith to the operation of the prophetic word. I'll read to you 1 Timothy 1:18. He said this Paul said this to Timothy, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that you by them might war a good warfare. So we see here that we have to contend for those. We have to fight for those. We have to believe for those. The prophet speaks words from God so that we have words to say. The prophet speaks words from God so that we have words to say. And I went back over the last few years and reminded myself of some of the words that have been delivered. Now understand this, there is no expiration date on these words. This is the year of abundant harvest. But the force of the abundant harvest does not expire at 11:59 at the end of this year on December 31st. No, these words are cumulative. They're building blocks, one on top of the other, on top of the other. You don't throw one away and then move in the next one. No, you build on what has already been declared. It's a building process. So I just went back a few years and I started reading through these. And I looked at 2013. 2013 was the year of great grace. The year of great grace. So I believe that great grace is still working. It's still working. It's still alive. 2014, victory over death and manifestation of love. I believe that that word is still working on the inside of us. 2015, the year of the overcomer and the year of the open door. See, you can have multiple words in this. And I'm not even including what Brother Savelle has had in these. But the year of the overcomer. Well, we are overcomers. And we're more overcoming in 2020 than we were in 2015. What this does, these words of the Lord cause us to focus in. And what one of my responsibilities as a pastor is to take these words and dissect them and bring them to you. Do you remember when you used to dissect frogs in high school? Yeah. Oh, some don't. Well, we did. and you take it apart and you identify the parts of it. You lay it out on a table. Well, I'm here to dissect the word. I'm like a spiritual scientist that's digging around this and finding out the elements of it, the DNA of it, and what does it mean and how does it operate. And the responsibility that I have is to take these marching orders from God and to deliver them for you, to disseminate, to use, and to believe. 2016 was the great year. 2016 was the great year. So we are not supposed to have great years after that? No, they get greater. They get greater. 2017, fabulous outpourings from heaven. Glory to God. I still receive that, Lord. Fabulous outpourings from heaven. 2018, the year of the Holy Ghost and fire. Woo! We're still living in that. It's a cumulative effect. Can't get that one? Cumulative effect for the community of the body of Christ. And 2019, the year of abundant harvest. What about 2020? What about 2020? Well, we've taken some time here at the ministry. We received the mandate in the Word, and we've made the design for it and prepared it. And right now it's being presented on the screen behind me. Woo! 2020, the year of new visions, the year of manifest power, and the year of great change. Come on, give God glory for that. Wow. Because we're going to continue this next week, let's just take one of that section, just one of the section, and then we'll continue next week. But 2020, the year of new visions. Turn to the book of Joel, chapter 2. Joel, chapter 2. The year of new visions. Think about that. For a moment, think about what does that mean to you? What does that mean to us? What does it mean to this ministry, this church, our Bible school? What does it mean to the face of Kenneth Copeland Ministries? What does it mean to your business, your life, your future? The year of new visions. What does new mean? New. It's like the scripture. His mercies are new every morning. It's not a repeat. It's not something that's been done already. It's not something that's been said already. It's not a repeat. It's something that is has anybody ever had a new car? Wow. It was a major celebration when I was growing up for my parents to get a new car. Because my father he'd go to work one day with the old car and he'd come back with the new. And he would drive home and it would be like a ceremony. We would all march out to the car because we're going for a drive. We're going for a drive and my sister and I are in the back seat. And we're trying to get used to this new back seat. Brothers and sisters have to get, and we have to mark territory so that she doesn't cross the line. I remember when my dad bought an Impala. Wow, what a car. It had a push button, drive, reverse, push buttons. And he let me push the buttons. It was really so, and the fins on the back of that thing, wow. You could hurt yourself on that car. You weren't careful, but the smell. Whew, that new car smell. What a wonderful thing. Carpet that was clean, everything that was shiny. Wow. I got that new vision smell. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. New vision. New vision. And I so enjoy hearing things. Like with Spencer Nordack, I so enjoy some of the things that he has described in the past to us, things that we've never thought of before. Like being in a service and floating. Hadn't thought about that one before. Floating in the glory. You are really looking, they're looking at me so strange right now. That would be interesting. But a new vision. a new vision. And in Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Now in a moment, we'll read over in Acts chapter 2 to the fulfillment or the beginning of that. But let me make a couple of points about this as we read this. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. I looked that up in the Hebrew, and it said under the word dreams, it said a dream with prophetic meaning. A dream with prophetic meaning. Your old men shall dream dreams. In 2004, I started a little notebook because I was having dreams. I was having dreams. And I discontinued it, but I've kept it by my bed, and the Lord said to me, old man, you're going to dream again. You're going to start dreaming again, and you need to write those dreams down. You need to write them down. I'll get to that other part in just a moment. So, a vision, the Hebrew there for the word vision is revelation. A vision is a revelation that you can see. Things that you see, things that are out there before you. And I've seen it with Brother Copeland over and over again, the vision that the Lord gives to him. And really, it seems like the older he gets, the more vision he has. There's more vision. And it's always stunning and it's always amazing, the vision that he has. Well, your old men will dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And upon the servants and the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Now turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 16. The year of new visions. Say the year of new visions. Say, I believe I receive. 2020. The year of new visions. Now in Acts chapter 2 and verse 16. But this is that. Now, in the Amplified Translation, it says, this is the beginning. The beginning of it. That was the beginning of it. This is that, or the beginning, of that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. This is a multi-generational move and outpouring of the Spirit. It's everybody. It's everybody. Everybody's going to be involved in this one. And when it says here, your young men shall see visions, I looked up the word vision in Greek, and it is an appearance divinely granted. Wow. That's what a vision is. An appearance that's divinely granted. And then I looked up the word dreams. And the word dreams in the Greek simply means something seen in sleep. Something seen in sleep. And it led me over, don't turn there, but it led me over to Job 33:15. And it says, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may withdraw men from his purpose and hide pride from man. So I'm expecting that. I'm expecting dreams. I'm expecting dreams in the sense of sleep in that word. But I'm expecting dreams. Like, for instance, Walt Disney was a dreamer. He was a dreamer. And so I believe you can dream either way, asleep or awake. And the Lord will give you those dreams. He will impart those dreams into our spirit. Because it's coming from heaven. It's funny, you don't have to sit there and labor and try to come up with something, because he's got everything necessary for us to be able to come up with something. Do you think for a moment we have plumbed the depths of every kind of invention that has been done? No. No. I remember there was a word from the Lord through Bill Winston talking about how there will be innovations through the body of Christ that will make the iPhone look like child's play. Come on, we need to start dreaming. We need to start having visions of what the Father wants here. Innovations, creativity in the body of Christ. There are things he wants to show us in this year of 2020, the year of new visions. And I'm taking that in every sense of the word. I'm standing here right now. The year of new visions, we will see better, clearer, physically. So you start meditating on this and you start thinking about it, and it really comes to life. These things come to life. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. They'll prophesy. I'll make this statement to you. Insights, ideas, and concepts never before seen or heard. Insights into various things. And whatever you're involved in, whatever it is that you do, whatever career that you're involved in, whatever study that you are, there are insights, ideas, and concepts that have never been seen before or never heard of before. Those are going to be coming out. Do you receive them? Do you receive those? I do. This is going to be very interesting how this all comes together. This is going to be an interesting year of how that happens and how it takes place. So your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Terry and I were in the car and we were talking about this scripture. Your young men will see visions. And I said, what do you suppose that means, young men? So she looked it up on her phone. And in the Greek, it means a youth under 40. A youth under 40. 40, 80, 120. So that first part, that's a youth part. Then you do middle age, from 40 to 80, and then the miracle age. Ah, wow. But it's going to take all of us. It will take all of us. But this one, this young men seeing visions, that's a youth under 40. So if you're 40 and under, young men, that applies to you. Start seeing it. And then it says the old men will dream dreams. So because I am in that category, but I'm not your normal old man. No, 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 no. Uh-uh. Waving at my wife over there. I'm not your normal old man. Mm-mm. I wouldn't say I'm the abnormal old man, but I'm unusual old man. But listen to what the Greek says about old men. And as I started reading this, and I have a couple of scriptures too about that, I thought, man, I would really, that'd be fun to do a study on old men. Have an old men conference. And we'd preach the word, and then we'd have fashion stylists come in. Fix us up. Haircuts. Anyway, so an old man is a senior, an elder. One who is advanced in life. It is a term of rank or office among the Jews who are members of the Great Council or the Sanhedrin, because in early times the rulers and judges of the people were selected from elderly men. Wisdom. Wisdom. Those who managed public city affairs and administered justice among the Christians, and those who presided over the assemblies, the churches. So that really fascinated me. the value that we place on each other. All that fuss about that girl that talked about boomers. I don't know if you heard about that or not. Some girl made some disparaging remark about baby boomers. Baby boomers. And that's just another example of the division that the devil's... That's the devil. That's the devil trying to divide us. And the devil has tried to divide the church. But I truly believe that the church is a place for the whole family. The whole family. From the very youngest to the very oldest. And that every one of them is welcome. Every one of them has a part. Every one of them. Every one of them, especially those who are in the older age category, there's a lot of wisdom that these people have. There's a lot of wisdom that operates through them. And I looked at a couple of scriptures. In Job 12:12, wisdom is with the aged and understanding in length of days. So wisdom. Proverbs 23:22, listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. That's a good scripture. I mean, they go on and on and on and on. But then I was reading this one from Joshua 14:11. New Living Translation. This is Joshua at 85. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. And I can still travel and I can still fight as well as I could when I was 40. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about movies that I've seen before where they're older guys, like guys that are in their 60s or 70s. And they come up against these young guys, and these young guys start to taunt them and start to bully them, and they don't realize that these older guys have skills. And it's just so much fun in a movie like that to see an older guy just wipe out the young guys. Just absolutely. Ow. Somebody's turning to their child right now saying, don't listen to him, don't listen to him. Anyway. But that's what we should be like in our older age, that we are as strong. We are stronger now than we were back then. Because when you get strong in the spirit and you develop your spirit man, there is no limit to how big your spirit man can get. There might be a limit to how big you can get physically, but there's no limit spiritually. So I like that. Eddie, I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I did at 40. And the Spirit of God will be poured out on servants and handmaidens. So that's women as well. Women have a part in all of this. And it's just interesting to me that in the church, there's still a disparagement where women are concerned. And women preaching. There are some denominations, some churches that will not let a woman preach. And they are missing it big time. Big time. So it's a year of new visions. New visions. Let me read the rest of this and we'll wrap it up, because I'll come back to it next week. 2020 is the year of manifested power and great change. 2020 will be a year of great change. Wonderful and magnificent changes in the kingdom of God in the earth. Changes that will come because of insights, ideas, and concepts directly from Jesus to His church by His mighty Spirit. Musicians, come on up. Glorious concepts of how His laws work. The laws governing increase and financial prosperity. The laws of the Spirit that release miracles and divine healings and manifestations of His almighty power on the earth. New concepts of His love. New concepts of His love. New concepts of God's love and His very person, for He is love. Insights into the true power and the strength of His joy. It will be days of political change, great victories and great defeats. For the spiritual enemies of God and His people shall be crushed. Spirits, not flesh and blood. But there are those on both sides of the political divide who refuse to listen to the Lord Advocate General of the Church. Their dreams shall be dashed, their desires shall be wounded, and they will be removed from their offices and replaced. Some by the ballot, some by tragedy, and some who in despair will quit and go do something else. This is my country, saith the Lord Jesus. It was founded by people who love me for the sole purpose of their love and desire to worship the Almighty God, and I will never forget that. 2020 will be the year of change and manifested power. David, go ahead. And let me give you this. We didn't include this up here, but this is part of it. 2020 is going to be the year of the removal of politicians. That came out of the prophet. Those politicians that refuse my call to unite and become the United States of America, and not just America. Those politicians that refuse to listen, and those politicians that continue the pathway of hate, I will remove them from their place. I will remove them from their place. I will remove their influence from the record books. I will remove their candle in their families. I will remove them from office and put somebody in there that will. That is what the Spirit of God is saying. Come on, give God praise for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand up. Stand up.